Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Nashville Predators, and help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds TV analyst Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor and by Smoky Mountain Tops as well. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not too much. Just trying to find out what to do with my life now that hockey's over, but just enjoy the nice weekend and, yeah, just hanging out.
Hey, I'm right there with you, my friend, trying to figure out what to do with all this spare time that all of a sudden is on my hands. See, Mace, we'll get to the Predators coming up here in just a second. I do want to get your thoughts very quickly on yet another collapse by the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're down or up 3-1 in the series. They find a way to screw this thing up again and lose in the first round of the playoffs with Matthews and Marner and Tavares and all the different riches of talent they have there in Toronto. What did you think of that and Shea Weber and the Canadiens coming back winning that series?
Is it bad that I kind of like that?
I enjoyed every second.
No, I don't. You know, honestly, it's crazy because, I mean, you guys know what the media is like up there, especially with that team. You know, they get off to the great start in the series, and this is finally the year we're talking Stanley Cup and, you know, all those types of things. And I don't know what it is, but that team has done that a few times over the last few years, or they've had a series, you know, a stranglehold on a series, and they've somehow, you know, they think it's over. And, you know, Montreal, like, they played, you got to give them a lot of credit. They were down out even in that game. I think they were up 3-0 or 3-1, and Toronto came back, and Montreal ended up winning in overtime, and right there, that's when the old pucker factor kicks in, and everyone's like, is this going to happen again? And you're like, no, Toronto's too good. They little bump in the road. They'll get it in Montreal, and then you go to Montreal, and down to a game seven. That's why, like, if the Preds could have got to a game seven, you just never know. So it's tough. I mean, I don't know. As an organization, you feel like you have all the pieces. You addressed, you know, your goaltending, which used to be their issue, and then it used to be defense. They got, you know, they've addressed that, and it just didn't work. But that's a testament to how good this league is, in my opinion. The teams that, you know, are at the bottom and not the top seeds, I don't think are always given enough credit. And, you know, that doesn't always happen. But, you know, hats off to Webby and the Canadiens, because they everyone else thought they were done, but they didn't, and they ended up coming back and big upset. So it's that you know, that emoji where you're like, uh-oh. That's what that is for me. I was like, oh man, no, that's a tough one. That one hurts.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. I also think, C. Mace, it is another example of goaltending mattering so much, right, at this time of year, which does bring me back to the Preds. I feel like I would think everyone would be able to agree, as much conversation as there is on the direction of things and who may be traded and unprotected, all that stuff, the Preds did find a goalie this year. Maybe they didn't find him. Maybe he was just, this was going to happen all along. But to me, I felt like UC Saros proved something down the stretch this season and in that playoff series. What about you? Do you feel like he cemented himself here? And what do you think the future is for Saros?
Oh, 100%. I think if you go back to the season before, you know, when they were going to do more of a split, but Pekka was still the guy. And as that season went on, you know, he took over at the end of the season in, you know, February, March, and he was, you know, playing starter number one type goalie minutes. But it's, you know, you're not necessarily deemed the guy yet. You know, you don't have that pressure. You don't have to carry that around where, hey, you're the number one guy. You're just, you know, a goalie that's, you know, the 1A, 1B, and you're going to maybe get 35, 40% of the starts, but you got hot, so the team ran with you. I've been in that situation as a backup, and it's a different type of a feeling. There's not as much pressure. You're hot and you're going, kind of thing. And this year was a lot different because he came in and he was the guy. They, you know, this was the first year that they've ever, you know, really, I guess, publicly said in the media that, you know, Saros is our guy. We're going to go with him. We believe in him. And for him to respond the way that he did as the season went on, and there's a bit of an adjustment, just like the whole team kind of went through, But personally, I think for Saros, it's a different kind of mentality and a feeling when you come to the rink every day. And you know that, you know, when you go out and you play a bad game, that you're going to have to play again. You're going to have to find a way to turn around. You're going to have to find a way to, you know, put long stretches of, you know, elite play together to be, you know, credible and to have that, you know, earn that title. And I think the way that he handled himself, first of all, getting out of that hole and then going on that stretch that he went on right till the last game for over 2.5 months, that's what the good guys can do. That's what, you know, everyone in the league is good and they can have their moments, but the elite guys, the star goaltenders in the league are able to do it for longer stretches of time and recover quicker from bad performances or bad stretches. And I think Saros, in my mind, I've always known that he's had the ability to be a number one and a top goaltender in this league. And now after seeing what he did in the last half of the season, I really don't have any doubt in my mind that, you know, they've got their goaltender for many years.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor and by Smoky Mountain Tops. So, C. Mace, now kind of the interesting part of this discussion comes up, where I think David Poile and the front office here has an interesting challenge on their hand, trying to determine exactly how close the Predators are to being a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, we've talked about the contracts that have been signed, and you're still, you know, hoping, if you'd have said this, you know, talked about this 2-3 years ago, you're still in the window to win a cup now in 2021. As you look at this season, the way it unfolded, the playoff series against Carolina, you factor everything in that we've seen. How close do you think this Predators team is right now, this group is right now, to getting back to a place where they can compete for a Stanley Cup?
Well, I think it's, you know, this offseason is going to be massive, in my opinion, because I'm very curious to see how they're going to approach the expansion draft. This is everyone's second time around, so there's going to be obviously a lot of moving pieces. There's going to be, you know, deals made of unloading contracts to Seattle, and to, you know, there's just going to be a lot of moving parts this year. And I think, to me, with the emergence, I guess, of some of the younger players, it definitely gives them a lot more flexibility, I think, as an organization to feel good about, you know, maybe being a little bit risky or maybe taking some chances in the offseason or, you know, potentially moving some salary or whatever the case may be, because, you know, there's so many young kids that have really, quite honestly, you know, in my opinion, cemented themselves as NHL players, where in a regular season, if they didn't have the injuries that they did this year for the extended period of times that they did, there'd be a lot of guys we still don't probably know about. And, you know, the fact that I think Tomasino went down and he had a great year in the American Hockey League, that's another, you know, potential big name, big, you know, cog in the wheel moving forward for this team. So, you know, in terms of being a contender, they still don't have the top four. However, that plays out in the, you know, protection side of things for the expansion draft, that'll be yet to be seen. But, you know, the fact that Carrier came in, and to me, obviously he was a top four guy. There were games when Josi and Ekholm and I think even Ellis were in the lineup, and he played more minutes than anybody. So to me, he's a player that I look at and I think, well, this guy, and he's going to cost a lot less than some of the other guys. So I think they're in a good spot contender-wise. I mean, I don't know. There's so many good teams. I guess the divisions will go back to normal next year. We can expect that. So, you know, I really don't know as much as I should about, you know, the rest of our, you know, division, I guess it is. But I think they're right there. I think they're right there. And believe me, we've all said this too. Anybody that gets in can win a cup. But, you know, there's only, I guess, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that I would say that are the, you know, the real contenders. And this offseason will have a lot to do with how I feel about that. But I don't think that they're, you know, out of the mix by any means.
Is it as simple, C. Mace, as they've just got to get more consistent production from, you know, top six forwards? And then in tandem with that question, how important do you think Granlund being re-signed is for this team?
Well, I think that, you know, that top six production, the health and the reliability of those players is so important, because at the end of the day, you structure your team on a salary cap, and you expect certain production from the guys that are getting paid in the bracket they're getting paid in. And if you don't get that, it makes it tough. It's asking a lot of the depth guys, which they Predators have built their team that way, and they seem to get a lot of great production up and down the lineup. But at the end of the day, you need that consistency, to win hockey games, to have a good power play, to be in the upper echelon, I feel. And Mikael Granlund's a guy that he does everything. He embodies, in my opinion, what John Hines wants the team to be: hard to play against, hardest working, relentless, good defensively. He's got offensive, he can contribute offensively. I think he's a guy that if, I'm building a team, character-wise, and what he does on the ice is somebody that I'd really want on my team. So I think he's an important piece, because even when the team was struggling and even when they're, trying to search for their identity, he never changed. He just, that's who he is. He's that type of player. And I think every team in the league wants a guy like that. So I'm hopeful that can get worked out. But I know the business side of things, and, there might be opportunity out there for him, but you never know how that plays out. So he's a guy that, I'm definitely looking at if, I want to, keep my team's mojo or whatever it is, and that identity, that's one guy that I think, any team would be happy to have. There's no doubt about that.
No shortage of decisions to make for David Poile coming up this summer. There's no question about that. C-Mace, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely, you as well. Chris Mason joins us every Tuesday at 8:30, brought to you by Coleman Tractor and by Smoky Mountain Tops as well. Let's get your thoughts on the Predators. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How close are the Predators to being a contender? What's the biggest question facing the Predators heading in to this offseason? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.